Coming up tonight on the SmackDown After Show, what happened to Daniel Bryan and who opened all those dog cans? Tune in.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, Buzz.
Welcome to the SmackDown After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I am Tom the Com Connolly. We're back to our original setup tonight, but not the original people here in the studio.
That's right.
Sitting on the other side of the table, Gabby Loren. How you doing, Gabby?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great. And don't get too excited about the setup because it's not staying.
Yes.
Sorry.
And sitting next to her, the one and only George Mosa.
I'm so excited to be sitting next to a TV star. I watch her on TV every week.
Do you now?
I do.
But you watch it a day later,
well,
right?
That's what you told me. A week later. But a couple of weeks ago, I saw you like two times a week. It was awesome.
Two times a week?
Because you're on Tuesday and WOW as well.
Oh, gotcha.
Week 11.
It was Impact and WOW the same week. Yeah. Thanks.
That's cool.
You liked it?
Can I get your autograph?
Sure. Where do you want it?
I don't know. Let's take a selfie.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Tattoo it on your arm.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it anywhere. Just kidding.
All right, let's get into SmackDown.
Too much info. TMI.
Yes. So, guys, we weren't here last week because of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
But SmackDown basically, you know, ends with Daniel Bryan getting attacked by the Fiend, dragged to hell, wherever that is, under the ring. And then we see the Fiend seems to be ripping out Daniel Bryan's hair. And that's how, SmackDown goes off the air. This week starts, Miz coming out for kind of a Miz TV, but he's more concerned about where's Daniel Bryan, what happened to him, no one's heard from him, no one has seen him, as Miz is, talking about what's happening to Daniel, and weirdly showing concern for Daniel Bryan. We see Firefly Funhouse come up, Bray's on the screen. He says he doesn't know where Bryan is, but he could be with the Fiend. Whatever that means. And then Bray now wants to play with The Miz at TLC. And then Bray says, talks about family and shows he used to have a family, which weirdly referencing actual, video recap of the Wyatt family, which we haven't seen yet in a while. And then he shows The Miz a photo of him and Maurice and their two daughters.
Yikes.
And Miz, gets very upset and takes off backstage, seemingly to find Bray Wyatt. But
no, it seemed like he was trying to get out of there to get to Maurice to save her.
At first, I thought he was leaving. I thought he was going to find Bray Wyatt at first, but we do find out.
I agree. I thought he was going after Bray Wyatt. It wasn't until a couple scenes later we saw him walking, talking with Maurice, and so I was like, I'm going to go in this room.
Yeah.
As he exited, you were like, he's going to go after him.
Yeah, but but initially I thought he was going after Bray Wyatt first.
Yeah.
For kind of taking it there. Obviously, we saw a lot of family personal issues tonight or on SmackDown. And I don't know, I kind of like it when I get a little personal, It just kind of makes it more, like, because you saw the audience react. Usually Bray Wyatt's a heel. I'm sorry, I know he's typically a heel, but they cheer a lot for the Firefly Funhouse. But a lot of people were booing him because, like, oh, you took it there. Like, oh, you shouldn't have taken it there.
I actually loved it, and I think that they should do more stuff like this, too. But it was nice that he didn't actually directly go after Bray Wyatt. To me, it looked like, he might have done that, but then as you saw after he exited the ramp and went backstage, there was no follow-up. Yeah. The only follow-up was a phone call with his wife. I loved how they're almost showing that he's a little bit too scared of Bray Wyatt because he didn't look after him right away. He went straight to his wife instead.
Yeah.
So to me, that shows, like, he didn't use rage. He used concern. He's worried about his family first.
Well, this is a family man now.
Yeah, he is.
It's weird to think that it's in this year that The Miz has gone from being, like, one of the most, hated heels to a decently, a very popular babyface.
It's hard to boo him because anybody who watches Miz and Mrs., he's a very, very likable person in real life. Obviously, his character sometimes gets a little annoying, but you see him in real life with Maurice and his kids, he's funny. Like, he's feels like a good guy to hang out with.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'll never forget, I think it might have been after WrestleMania, he was on my flight going back to LA, and he was standing next to me waiting to board, and I remember he just said, hi to me, but he looked look down, because I'm so short. I'm 5'2", and he's like, I don't even know, 6-something.
Something, yeah.
Probably like 6'7", I don't know.
He's not 6'7".
Here, let's look it up.
He is the not 6'7". Height. I guarantee he's like 6'2".
Okay, he's 6'1". Even okay. So, that's almost like a whole, like, foot, what, taller than me? Yeah. Like, it's crazy. So, yeah, I just remember looking up at him, and I was like, oh, hi. I didn't know what to say. It was, like, very awkward. But he was such a nice guy. I just remember him being, like, super freaking
out. After he said hi, did he say to you, low?
No. But that would have been really funny.
That's a dad joke, but Tom laughed because, you know.
See, I like the crickets. That's what I'm thinking, too.
I don't care. As long as one person laughed, I'm fine.
Dad joke.
I bet that chat role would laugh, too.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in there now. I'll see if they laugh. But, I mean, then we got back from break. You know, Miz is on the phone with Maurice saying, I'm coming home right now. Don't worry. Lock the doors. Because, I mean, Bray is, you know, insane. Uh-huh. And Daniel Bryan is missing.
Because it's one of those things, too, where, like, I know they sometimes play with it where is it, like, a live Firefly Funhouse in the arena? Because there's also a possibility that maybe it's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I, in my opinion, don't think that they're trying to act like it's live from the arena, but obviously it's not. And you could tell because Miz actually spoke over the lines of the playback.
Oh.
Did you guys notice that?
I didn't really notice, but I could see where that would happen.
But again, he's such a good actor, so he smoothed right over it, and you probably thought that he was just acting. But I think it's something that was pre-recorded. They aired in the arena, but they might be wanting it to come off as, yes, it's happening right backstage, because they kept that frame in the backstage room that we saw after with his family and Bray Wyatt's face in the place of Mrs.
Yeah, later on.
Yeah, later on.
But yeah, so then, I mean, I think it's, I don't get what they're doing. I'm intrigued, though, out of this whole thing, this whole storyline. And we'll get to it later, but I read some things that people were saying online about this whole The Fiend Daniel Bryan thing. That
so what were people saying?
Well, I'll get to it after. Wait till we get
to it. Because I have something to say, too, and I think it's rather genius. But yeah, we'll get to it.
Yeah. So then, first match of the night, we get Mandy Rose versus the returning Alexa Bliss in her first match back since being out for seeming like weeks, almost months. And we don't really know why she was out of the ring again. They didn't really say, like, why, if she was injured or what was going on. But, I mean, I feel like the biggest part of this match was Mandy peeling off her eyelashes.
Does that hurt?
Yeah.
Not unless it's stuck to your actual eyelashes. So sometimes if you put it on wrong, you're not supposed to glue it to your actual eyelash, but people do it all the time, especially makeup artists.
But when you were watching it, this moment, were you like, oh, that hurt? Or were you like, eh, whatever, it's being a girl.
No, I don't think it hurt her at all.
But even
plus, she puts that on every week.
But even somebody else peeling it off for you, though?
Yeah, because like, it's supposed to be on your skin, not your lash. Uh-huh. So, like, it's very, the glue is like, if you were to put glue in, like, a rhinestone on your skin and you just took the thing off, it wouldn't hurt you.
Oh, okay.
It's meant to stay there, but it doesn't, like, rip off your skin.
I guess
skin.
We should try it.
It's like a wax.
Right? We should try it.
So, maybe. Sorry to bust everybody's balls, but it's not, you know.
I don't know. It looked devastating. I don't know.
Don't be too upset that I'm revealing that it might not have hurt unless there was an eyelash involved, like a real one.
Yeah, unless she was actually peeling her real. Yeah.
Because when you do take it off and it's attached to your eyelash, you're like, oh, it just took off my actual lash.
Gotcha.
That's the only time it will hurt.
See, like, that's the thing where I feel like, as wrestling fans, like, that's something that can happen, and guys watch her and like, oh my god, that must really, really hurt. And then girls are like, no, it didn't hurt at all. But to most of the majority of the audience, they're like, oh, I bet that really hurt her.
So, do you know if Daniel Bryan was hurt by his hair coming out?
Yeah, that would hurt. I mean, first off, that hair looked so horrible because it didn't even look anything like Daniel Bryan's
like
hair.
Like horse hair.
Like, why did they?
I'm just kidding.
Like, why didn't he just go into the ring and, like, cut some actual pieces? His hair's pretty long. Uh-huh. He could have cut a little bit off and handed it to him.
I actually was going to ask you guys, do you think he's going to come back when he does come back with, like, less hair on his head and all chopped up weird?
I think probably. So. That's what I thought was going to happen.
That'd be great.
Like, if we saw him this week, I thought he was going to have, like, weird like patches. That, and.
But, poor Daniel Bryan.
But this match was pretty competitive between the two. I felt like there was lots of near falls, counters, and then Alexa was able to win Twisted Bliss. You know, I feel like most of the time people first match back, and after a while, they get the win. I know. Do you see this continuing this feud?
I think so. But more so, I'm also actually a little excited at the possibility of maybe Alexa Bliss being just like a full-fledged babyface. Because she's so likable. First off, she's amazing as a heel. But you can tell like a lot of people still like her a lot. Like, oh my god, you know, got that Alexa Bliss plop, Alexa Bliss pop. But I feel like Alexa Bliss can be the babyface that Bayley would never was on the main roster. Yeah. Like, you know, people dressing up as Alexa, you know, she's easily marketable. So I'm really excited to see that if they're going to go all the way, because I saw a lot of people on the internet saying like, oh, it's only a matter of time before she turns on Nikki Cross. I hope not. I hope Nikki maybe turns on Alexa at some point.
I think it's
going
to be the other way around.
I would actually love to see Nikki and Sonya have a storyline at some point.
Yeah.
Like, get those two involved, just because it still keeps it together with what's currently going on, and then Alexa can cheer on Nikki.
Yeah, I think we'll see that next week. We usually see that a lot when there's, like, two teams feuding.
Yeah, at least they'll have some kind of match, I don't know, at a pay-per-view that we have in a week and, like, two matches for.
This whole situation with Nikki Cross partnering with Alexa Bliss is a great career move for Nikki Cross.
Mm-hmm. It has been. I mean,
yeah, she's blessed with bliss.
And I didn't like it at first. I was like,
she's blissed.
Yeah,
she's blissed with bliss. The two together. Right?
Yeah, I just didn't like the both of them together. I like the Nikki Cross of NXT, and it's just kind of hard to get behind her. But I feel like she's made me like her more. This way. So.
Because I think she like first got called up like a year ago around, and there's really nothing to do with her. Like, she just was there. But at least it's good. She's out there every week. She's doing something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I feel like we are going to get the Nikki turning on her, on Alexa.
I hope to see that.
I feel like we've seen Alexa turn on everyone so far, so it's like, might as well do it the other way around. And then we go back to backstage. We have Drake Maverick, the married Drake Maverick, trying to pick up Dana Brooke again, who apparently is definitely going on a date with Batista now.
Can we talk about why this is even happening when he's married?
I don't get it. I was going
to
say
this. Why are they trying to divorce everybody? No, Drake Maverick, I mean. Yeah. But like, why are they trying to give people divorces? Lana and Rusev is one of them. Like, I don't get it.
They're like, oh, we need a cuckold angle on SmackDown, too. Yeah, but it's doing so good on Raw.
I wonder,
get him out there, Drake.
Do you think it really affects their relationships behind the scenes?
I don't think at all. I think Lana and Rusev are doing great. I think Drake and his wife are doing great.
Hopefully, yeah.
I think it's got to be weird, though. I think for the Lana and Rusev, it's got to be kind of weird watching your wife like make out with some other guy that you work with.
Yes. At the same time, like, there's a lot of instances in Hollywood where I always thought about that too, where like you have, let's say, a director and he's directing his wife, and his wife's like making out with somebody. Like, it's one thing to say like, oh, I'm going to work, whatever, but it's like to be there and actually watch it. Like, you know, you're filming your wife do a love scene with somebody else. It's like, that's kind of weird.
Unless it turns you on, I don't know why else it would make sense. But,
I don't know. Yeah. I just think it's weird that we have to have the same kind of angle on Raw and SmackDown. This is almost more pathetic on Drake's part.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, trying to hit on Dana Brooke, who obviously isn't interested. But then Dana is apparently going on a date with Batista, but Elias is coming to her defense.
Good for her.
So are we going to get that Batista-Elias match at Royal Rumble?
I heard he's done, but good for Dana Brooke. Like, going out with a million-dollar movie star?
Yeah.
Right?
We weren't here when all that went down on social media. I mean, it's crazy that happened through, like, Twitter. Like, all of them talking to each other and then actually, like...
Wait, do you want to, like, explain for people...
That
in the podcast,
first
that
off,
don't know.
Why are people not knowing what's happening?
Well, they shouldn't know.
That's why we have wrestling rap. First of all, just FYI.
Oh, is that going to be a wrestling rap?
I mean in general, like I inform people, even if some people do know and some people don't.
Well, see, I from what I can remember, it was like Batista kind of just sent a message.
Like, hey guys,
to her,
I'm single.
Yeah, he said I'm single, and then somehow he just like said was like, hey Dana Brooke, what's up? And then it just kind of went from there of like people being like, oh, Dave's such a good guy. He lent me money to pay off blah blah blah. Debt.
It's funny because I thought she was going out with that basketball player from the Knicks, and I don't think he's a Knick anymore.
Maybe. I don't know.
He was like, he won the 24/7 title like a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Aris Kanter or whatever.
Okay. Maybe she was.
Who was just in the news saying like, oh, once he's done with NBA, he's going to be a basketball player. Not him. He's the one that
he's going to be a wrestler, you mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. I don't know. So apparently, then it just kind of went from there of like, it's so weird. That's such a random thing to see, like, happening between, like, two celebrities on social media. and then it actually turning into something. Or I don't know, something. We'll see what happens with it. But yeah, Elias sang a little song about Drake.
Which was amazing.
It was good.
Oh
yes.
My goodness.
Yeah.
I think that was his best song he's ever done.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
No, yeah, awesome. I agree. I thought it was really good. And then we come back, and Drake is now calling out Elias. They get in the ring, and Drake just kind of makes a fool of himself. Mm-hmm. Can't land a punch. And then... and Dana did ask him, like, did that really happen with his wife? And he's like, no, but something is going to happen. And you're like, what's going to happen? Like, I don't get this. Like, and then, you know, Dana then pins Drake for some reason. I don't get that part.
I just don't like that. I feel like a lot of these 205 guys got drafted to Raw or SmackDown just to be jobbers. Like, we've seen Akira Tozawa on Raw jobbing to Drew McIntyre and everybody else. So you see Drake Maverick, like, get drafted to SmackDown and just be a joke. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. If you're not going to use him right, like, don't even bother put him on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but I don't get why the guy that's married keeps having to go after her, trying
and he's
to, like,
got a hot
like,
wife.
I know.
That's like when like DDP was like stalking Undertaker, his wife. Like, dude, you got a much hotter wife at home. Like, what are you doing?
I don't get the whole, like, let's go after Dana for some reason, and then I don't get if it's leading to, like, maybe her getting signed to the company, and that's how they're trying to, like,
but
then we already introduced her with the 24/7
thing
before, and then that never got a payoff at all, because she never even got to win the 24/7 championship, which I think would have been the best storyline for that, of, like, he could never win it, or barely win it, and she won it, and then, like, I don't know. They were trying to consummate the marriage and all that other stuff, so I don't know. I think we're going to end up having some weird mixed tag match with the two of them.
Maybe.
Like, she just shows up and starts, you know, attacking them or something.
Yeah, and for all the people that are tuning in right now, live or listening post in iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening, let us know what you guys think about some of the topics we're talking about tonight and some of these storylines, because we want to know your opinion, too.
Yeah. And on top of this, Elias is now a face.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with him being a face, so I'd like to really see where they go with it. But I don't...
Just make up your mind.
Yeah.
I feel like they teased his babyface turn and they made him a heel again, and now he's a babyface again.
I think he could be really good. Like, he can make up funny songs about people and really get under their skin. He's a good wrestler on top of that, so it's not like he puts on bad matches when he does fight. And then we get another backstage segment. Miz is now, you know, with his bags. He's leaving. And as he's walking down the hallway, apparently he just happens to look over to the one room that has a weird red light coming out of it.
He was suspicious.
Yes, which I would be like, that looks weird. I should probably leave to go to my family.
Yeah, it looks like danger.
Yes. So as he walks in there, he sees the picture from before, but he's not in it. Bray Wyatt is now sitting there holding Monroe. I'm trying to think what Bray said again. He just said...
He said something about smile.
Yeah, don't forget the smile. Or like, say cheese. He said, say cheese, and next you know, Miz turned around, Bray attacked him, hit him with the Sister Abigail. We come, and he puts the picture on top of the Miz. We come back from break, and the ref is there helping Miz up, and Miz is like, where's the picture? And the ref's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, okay, like... So the picture disappeared.
You know what this is making me think of? This would be an amazing storyline for WWE writers if they created something between Bray Wyatt and The Miz where it was kind of secretive what Bray was doing to him, like all of these like crazy acts that makes The Miz sound like he's hallucinating and going nuts, whereas everyone in the WWE around him is kind of like, what are you talking about? Like, that never happened. You know, where, like, maybe he does something crazy with a photo, and then...
Like, we're seeing it,
but then none of the WWE staff believe him, and they make him look like he's going nuts.
Yeah.
I think that would actually be an amazing storyline. Like, make Miz go crazy.
I like that. I like that idea. And I think they're kind of... I don't know. What did you want to say about Bray?
Because
you don't show him again later.
Because I know that more so. I mean, one, I'm kind of intrigued that I think it's going to be Bray Wyatt and not The Fiend wrestling at TLC, which I think is really interesting, and I hope they don't mess that up. But I just want to like praise, and I don't know if this is even intentional upon the writers or Bray at all. But you look at the last three guys that Bray Wyatt has faced, right? You have Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan. Right, Bray Wyatt's all, or The Fiend's done all this thing, you know, he put the claw on him, you know, he's got the hands and everything. If you look at it, every guy that he's faced have all turned.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's genius. I don't know if that's even intentional.
I know.
Like, oh my God. Like, I thought of that like 2 days ago. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and the fact that I thought that, I'm like, wait, so if it's not the Miz, if it's not the Fiend facing the Miz, that's, you know, and if it's, keep it that way, I don't, because I don't think Miz is going to go back to being a heel anytime soon. But I just thought, like, oh my God, like, that's genius.
Yeah. And then it's like weird because it's like Bray Wyatt is the heel.
Yeah.
I mean, or Bray Wyatt. Is Bray Wyatt's the heel?
Yeah, I kind of get that too.
But the Fiend is a face,
kind of. Sometimes it's like, back and forth.
Yes, so it's so like all of like, and the fact that all those three guys, and they all, from what I saw an article online where someone was like, but they didn't just change; they changed back to people they were, characters they almost were before.
Yeah.
Like Prince or Finn Balor is like, oh, the Prince is back. Like mm-hmm. he's like Prince Devitt now again. Seth Rollins is almost now he's going back to Shield. Heel
yeah.
Seth Rollins yeah, yeah. almost. So it's like weird where it's like, and it's almost like Daniel Bryan's going back to like Dragon
yeah. Daniel Bryan. Because even like Seth Rollins, almost as if like you just mentioned Shield, mm-hmm. so he's trying to find two guys to kind of fill that void,
yeah, uh-huh.
hence why AOP's kind of.
And like, if they really. I will say this, if they thought this through this much,
yeah.
I will applaud them.
Absolutely.
Because that is.
That's genius.
Yes, that is like. So many layers deep, so much to go through, where you're like...
So I kind of like this whole Bray Wyatt as far as him going in TLC, because that just adds a whole new layer of this, just whoever this Bray Wyatt person is. And
yeah.
again, I don't want to say too much, because who knows how it's going to play out. So I don't want to say, oh, I don't want this, I don't want that, because
yeah.
we don't know what's going to happen yet. This is the first time that Bray Wyatt's wrestling as Bray Wyatt since this whole Fiend thing happened.
Yeah.
So I'll let it play out. I'll save my opinion to maybe after TLC, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I don't get... Yeah, I don't know where they're going, but it definitely intrigues me. And then I'll just say one other thing I saw online where someone was saying that they think that apparently Daniel Bryan is going to become the Fiend now.
Ooh, because maybe after he sucked him under?
Yeah, because Bray Wyatt's... Because also, this is the first time we've ever seen Bray Wyatt attack someone backstage when he attacked The Miz. Normally it's the Fiend attacking.
Yeah.
And he's always in the funhouse.
Because that's always weird, too, because even when Seth Rollins... went invaded the funhouse and destroyed it down. Like Bray Wyatt was so like, you know, why are you doing this?
Yes.
Like he had this weird moment of like, I'm gonna attack you, but he like held back.
Yeah, so
like,
why curious, are you attacking me?
So I'm kind of curious. Yeah. What is it that Bray Wyatt or the Miz did that made Bray Wyatt attack him? So I'm hoping that these things kind of get answered. And I really hope they do because there are a lot of things that this storyline has just, or Bray Wyatt in general, that just intrigues me so much.
I don't know if there needs to be an explanation because Bray Wyatt at the. Like, underneath his characters, he's a crazy guy. Like, crazy people don't need to explain why they're crazy.
Yeah.
You know? It's a chemistry that's off. Right?
Yeah. But, so apparently...
I wouldn't mind.
Daniel Bryan is the Fiend. Like, come back as... Now, he is the Fiend, which I think would just be crazy.
I think interesting what you said earlier about the dragon, because we've never really seen that Daniel Bryan in a while. Now if he comes back with a shaved head, like we haven't seen him with a shaved head in a while.
Like I feel like that was the point of the
Like
then it's like, okay, we're seeing a transformation of him. He's not gonna be, you know,
like
Teen Wolf Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, we already saw him go from heel to face. Now like maybe what's the next, he's not gonna go back to being a heel, just maybe another transformation that he has.
Yeah. And then also one last thing before, because what did you guys think of the belt, the Fiend title?
Hate it.
Do you know, for $7,000, you're going to buy it?
No.
I can't believe they're pricing it that much money.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. Don't sell that belt. And why are you not selling the Naomi belt? Because everyone was going crazy about that. That's the belt I would buy. And then let's get to a tag team match. We get the Revival, Lucha House Party, Heavy Machinery, and Shorty Ali G. for a fatal four-way elimination match to see you will fight the New Day at TLC, who is the number one podcast, sports podcast, their first podcast out.
Good for them.
It was good. I liked it. I would recommend it. And my favorite part of the whole match was Kofi literally hitting Corey Graves directly in the face with that pancake when they came out. But Lucha House Party gets eliminated by Heavy Machinery. The Revival then eliminate Heavy Machinery. And then in the end, which I thought was a really good back and forth between Shorty G and Ali and the Revival. The Revival then get the win after an awesome, like, Shorty G had him in the ankle lock. I thought it was like, okay, this could be a good match, Shorty G and Ali versus New Day, but no. Revival get the win. What'd you guys think? this match? Are you happy to revival one or?
Yeah, I mean, I would have liked for that because I feel like they need to do something with the tag team division to really spark it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm not opposed to New Day revival because I think that matchup is amazing, mm-hmm. and there is a lot of history there that if they decide to go there. But I would have liked to seen like maybe Ollie G and Gable. Shorty G and Ali maybe get in there too. Maybe we can see like a TLC match between them.
Yeah.
Like it's been a while since we saw one of those three-way big time TLC matches. Like why not have it again sometime soon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we have what, a week? I wouldn't be surprised if, because even they had that kind of like showdown or stare down like with all three of mm-hmm. them. I wouldn't be surprised if those two are added somehow. Like either they, you know, New Day's like, well, we'll face you this week and then the revival like help them win,
yeah. Especially
just to get a win,
yeah.
I don't know,
and especially it looked like they were heading in that direction before revival won. Mm. So yeah, I'd like to see at least maybe at some point a New Day versus Ollie G tag team match.
Yeah, and especially where like,
did you just say Ollie G?
I did say Ollie G. Can I call him Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah, that's what that was.
That's why I called him Shorty
Ollie
G because of the show.
Sacha Baron Cohen, best character ever.
But yeah, so I mean that match is going to be awesome at TLC, even if it's just the two of them, Revival and New Day. And then we get Lacey Evans in a match with Haley Jones, and it lasts about 2 seconds because she hits the woman's right and gets the pin. And then out comes Sasha, who we're like, all right, cool, we're going to get this good, you know, promo between the two of them. And then we go right to commercial break for some reason. they're really weird with these commercial breaks lately. And then we come back. Sasha is basically talking trash, talking about Lacey's daughter. And Lacey obviously sticks up for her daughter. She talks about how she's a mom. She's a Marine. Lacey basically turns face here with this promo, I think. It was a very short promo anyway. She goes to punch Sasha, and Sasha cowers and screams on the ground like she was going to hit her, I don't know, with a hammer or something. and then as Lacey's leaving, Bailey comes out and attacks her and just kind of knocks her out. And, I mean, I don't know who the feud is with, though. Is it with Sasha or was it with Bailey that we're getting?
What is Bailey doing these days?
Like, nothing.
There's nothing right now.
She went from being, like, really a good, I think, a relevant champion to being, like, that third forgotten champion that the SmackDown Women's Champion has been lately.
Do these days just mean, like, the last 2 weeks or something? I feel like it goes so fast, but, like, we
because,
did see her.
Because even without, like, even with Survivor Series, like, there wasn't, like, a clear, even with Becky, like, there isn't, like, a clear challenger right now for each show. But, yeah, you have Lacey, and I don't mind the Lacey-Sasha feud, because I think one of the biggest things that the Women's Revolution needs is not every program should be for the championship.
Yep.
Like, I want there to be a one-on-one match at a WrestleMania between two women that's not for a title.
Yes.
You know, I think that would do more for the Revolution than anything else.
Agree.
But, yeah, I mean, I've always liked Lacey as a promo. I think we saw a little bit more fire when she took it personal. Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned earlier with The Miz, too, because, like, we see a lot of character work here, but sometimes we need that aggression as well. Like, you know, oh, man, like, don't go there. Like, you're going to bring out a new side of this person.
Yeah.
Totally.
That it?
Totally.
Yep. Oh. Done.
I thought Gabby had something else to say.
Ditto.
But yeah, I agree. I think it was, I mean, I think Lacey should be a face, because I think being a heel just doesn't work for that kind of character. Like, I mean, when you think of it, she's a mom and a Marine.
And
like,
a legit Marine, yeah.
Like, I don't know why, like, you didn't just say, like, she's a good guy from the beginning, but I get we needed to get there. I don't like that Sasha's, like, you know, falling on the ground screaming. Like,
I think it was all a trap anyways.
Oh, maybe? Okay. I didn't even think of it that way. I mean, that's a good idea. That's good thinking. I wasn't thinking it that way.
That's in Sasha's nature.
But I just think Sasha's, like, the boss. Like, she doesn't back down from anybody. She doesn't take crap from anybody. And now she's, like, falling on the ground. Like, oh, don't punch me. But, yeah. We'll see where this goes. I do want Bailey to have some kind of challenger, though. I don't think there's going to be a Raw Women's Title match or a SmackDown Women's Title match on this pay-per-view.
That's crazy.
Which is, like, crazy because, I mean,
and there's no WWE Championship match either. Because Brock's not going to be on there either.
Yeah. So it's just going to be, I mean, the main event is definitely Reigns and Corbin then.
Yeah, because I think that's an actual TLC match, which is weird. Like, what are they climbing something for?
I don't know.
Climbing dog food on a thing to get whatever.
But let's talk about that right now. So the main event for the night, we have Reigns versus Ziggler, which, I mean, Ziggler can go.
Oh, my God.
Like, this is one of those matches where at first I was like, I don't want to see this match. Like, sometimes you're just kind of like, I know Reigns is going to win, so why am I watching this match? But then as it went on, I just, found myself getting more and more into it.
Ziggler's so good. And yeah. Honestly, just to give credit where credit's due, that crowd was great, too.
Yes.
That crowd was into it.
Mm-hmm. And, in the end, Reigns hits, because Ziggler knows how to take a spear. Mm. Probably the most devastating spear we've ever seen Roman Reigns give, and it barely was... It's like he barely touched him, but he makes it look awesome. So he gets the win, and in the middle of the match, Corbin comes out on his throne, carried by his henchmen. And I will say, I like that the henchmen all wearing the same clothes. They all kind of look like his King's Court people. And then after the match, they all just start attacking Reigns, and I'm fine with. Like, I think it's cool where it's like, okay, I don't care that Corbin is with Ziggler and Rude, because I think they should be separated. He doesn't need those guys to do this. I like that he has a random group of these guys that Reigns can just take out, and I don't care that he's taking out so-and-so from whatever town they're in. it doesn't affect the overall story of like, oh, what's happening? I like that Corbin just has this group of guys. Mm-hmm. And as they're attacking him, they end up finding but they have a pair of handcuffs. They handcuff him over the.
They end up finding post. Like yeah, no finding big deal. Yeah.
They were just under the ring. Who handcuffs? Like puts four pairs of handcuffs together, just leaves them under the ring. So they handcuff him over the ring post so he can't move his arms, and then out comes dog food because he's the big dog and he was hungry. And it was a hungry man meal.
What makes it dog food?
Just the way it's processed?
But, what are they putting it to, like, okay, now it's dog food?
Well, you'd have to ask the company that. Yeah. But essentially, as long as it's a dog food on the label, it's dog food.
Because sometimes some dog food looks delicious. I'm
like, you try it on?
There's some dog treats in.
Yeah.
I feel like you look at them and I'm like, I didn't know there's natural balancing
that comes in like a shape of a sausage. I'm like, how is this dog food?
I would not eat natural balance. I don't think that's good for anyone, even a dog. But what I was going to say actually is a lot of dog treat places, the stores that make like dog cakes and dog biscuits for their birthdays. Mm. That stuff, I think, is made with mostly regular ingredients that you could probably eat. Because I've been told, you can eat this if you want, but I'm not touching that. Imagine you just told someone, oh, yeah, what are you eating? No big deal, my dog's treats.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I think we just have this, you automatically affiliate it with dog. Yes. Oh, it must be gross, It's like, but if you never tell anybody, because we're already predisposed to that.
Yeah.
Just don't tell anyone. I actually, cook my dog human food. Like, I ran out of his food.
I give him, rice and carrots all the time.
Yeah, I give him rice and egg whites when his food is done, and let's say the delivery didn't come on time. He gets egg whites and brown rice.
Nice. Yeah.
Good for him.
I season it with cinnamon.
Do you cook the egg?
Of course. Because
sometimes I just crack the egg and put it in his thing without even cooking it.
I don't know about that. It's raw. It's kind of scary.
I mean, Rocky does it.
What if their stomachs get hurt?
I mean, my dog's fine. He walked with a limp, but I don't know.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe he didn't have enough protein. He needs more eggs. Get rid of the limp. They start pouring dog food all over Roman Reigns, all in his hair, all in his face. They still beat him up a little bit, and they leave kind of like laughing. They got one over on Roman Reigns, and they humiliated him like Corbin said he was going to. And Reigns just looks super pissed as SmackDown goes off the air. I didn't think this was devastating enough.
Really?
I was hoping...
They pants him or something?
No.
They give him a wedgie?
No, I meant more of the beating. The dog... I think it was disgusting. If I had to get dog food put on me, I'd probably be thrown up. Everyone knows what it smells like.
As long as it's chicken stew. That's what my dog eats.
That was not chicken stew. And also, I want to know, who was under the ring? Someone kept grabbing his leg up from under the ring.
Bobby Roode.
Oh, really?
We didn't see him.
We didn't see the. I'm sure it was just one of those guys, but I just thought it was very random. Where every time he kept trying to move his legs, there's someone grab his leg under the ring.
It was probably Bray Wyatt.
It probably was. It was Daniel Bryan. Yeah. Daniel Bryan trying to get out, trying to pull himself out. Reigns kept moving his leg. He's like, I'm trying to pull myself out of hell. But I would say that I wish if he was going to humiliate him, like putting the dog food on him is definitely humiliating. But I think with Corbin, he's not devastating enough with this. Like, I need another level of him to go up to be like, oh wow, I don't want to mess with that guy. We get told all the time he's like, I feel like the punches at the beginning look good, and he has a scepter. I wish he would have just like kept like bashing him in the stomach, and then we got some like blood coming up to make it look like, oh, he's really they're humiliating him and beating the crap out of him, and really making Reigns want to go after them even more. That was what I would think we would need it in this. Because in the end, he just looked pissed. Like, he looked like he's, you know, handcuffed up there. And he's just like, oh, I'm pissed because I got dog food all over me now. Like, that was humiliating. But now what am I going to do to him?
Yeah.
And what are they fighting for? Right?
Yeah.
Like, why are we having a TLC match?
But I think we've seen it in the past, too, where, like, I think there'll be, like, a TLC match that it still ends in a pinfall.
Yeah.
I think they can just use tables, ladders, and chairs, which I think is silly anyways.
Like, yeah, it does. Like, if it's a TLC match, I want them fighting for something. Yeah. Like, the Miz Bray match should be a TLC match. Maybe it'll get changed to a ladder match. Because now none of these other matches are even...
Because they haven't even announced, like, a tables match chairs match at all.
Nothing.
Times have changed.
Yes.
There used to be tables match, ladders match, chairs match, and a TLC match, a stairs match. Like,
I don't know. I think it's been horrible promoting for this pay-per-view. Like, I have no reason to watch this pay-per-view.
Are you gonna though?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'd watch the Bray Wyatt match, but that would be it. There's nothing else on this card that is really making me be like, I need to sit home on Sunday and watch this.
As of yet. There's still time.
But we have 1 week.
Lots can change.
We've had weeks to promote this.
Because even with Hell in a Cell, like, they had, like, two or three matches promoted, and they announced, like, five, six matches the day of.
Yeah. And you're like, why are we doing this? What kind of business? Like, if you're trying to get people into a 20,000-seat arena, how are they going to go?
I think that doesn't make any sense as far as, like, why would you? But, I mean, for the network, like, I get it, because it's like, I'm already a subscriber. Like, you're not going to lose me as a subscriber, regardless of how many matches you announce.
No, I get that. For the network, that's fine. But when you're trying to sell out arenas and look like the arena has people in it.
Yeah, I agree with you. But at the same time, I think WWE is so confident with their fan base that they know people are going to buy tickets and show up no matter what the card is.
Because even, like,
I guess you probably bought months ago, too. Maybe. Like, you're not buying because of the card.
Because even, like, I think WWE has a house show here in LA like December 30th. I don't know a single match on the card, but I kind of still want to go.
Yeah, but it's a house show, so it'll be
a little bit more intimate.
I just think it's when you're trying to promote a pay-per-view, that just seems ridiculous to me. But maybe this is a new model now. We just don't know who's fighting until the day of. Hopefully we show up. Hopefully people show up. I don't know. But that was SmackDown. But let's get to the wrestling wrap of the week. I hear we have some big news regarding possibly someone here.
Releases, no. So, wrestling wrap of this week. You guys, there have been so many major releases from the big one, the big network. But the biggest one of them all is of Christian Rosenberg, Josh Tariff. He will no longer... Just kidding. We love you. I'm joking. He's not here this week because he got tickets to a football game. But that was my intro to let you guys know that a few people got released from WWE. And you almost blew my cover. You sit here. You weren't supposed to say anything.
Sorry.
It's okay. So, essentially, we've lost Sin Cara, Luke Harper, and The Ascension. They've all been granted releases from WWE. It has been confirmed. And a statement was issued recently from Luke Harper. And it says, WWE has come to terms on the releases of Jonathan Huber, Luke Harper, and Sin Cara. WWE wishes them all the best in their future endeavors. And then there was a tweet from Sin Cara saying, as of today, I have been granted my release from WWE. Thank you, WWE Universe. It has been an amazing adventure. So, it looks like they're onto new places and new promotions, hopefully. Where do you guys think that they might wind up?
I think Luke Harper, I mean, obviously the easy one The easy one is always going to be like AEW. But I think Luke Harper, I think for somebody like him, because even with AEW, I think there's a lot of people that don't really wrestle every week. I feel like if he just kind of plays the field for a little bit, going into Japan, doing like what Moxley did for when he first started, going to Ring of Honor, New Japan, or maybe even making a stint like in MLW, things like that, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes that route as opposed to just signing his life away with AEW right now.
Yeah, because I feel like he's going from a company where he's not being used much, they don't know what to do with him. So it's like, why are you going to go to another place where, granted, you're going to make probably the same money or good money, but you don't know if you're going to get used. But there's so many people there.
Yeah, like AEW is like, as great as it may be sometimes, like there's a lot of guys like Kenny Omega. Like we have seen far from the best of what Kenny Omega can offer. That's already been like 2-3 months. Like if you're a new watcher, like, you'd probably be like, oh, Kenny Omega? Who's that, you know, random guy? Yeah. Like, no, you have no idea.
I like the idea of him either doing something like, kind of like what Cody did, of like going all over the place and then settling down somewhere. But I think he's definitely, I say Japan, New Japan.
I think Sin Cara, just maybe Mexico.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who knows if he's going to, because he's Unico from back in the day. Who knows if he's going to take off the mask or keep doing the mask as well?
Hopefully, Impact takes some of them.
Yeah, they could.
That'd be exciting.
And Ascension, I'm not sure about either of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. We'll see. We'll just have to stay tuned. What do you guys think? Let us know. Also, WWE officially confirmed earlier in the week that John Morrison is returning to the company. I know that it was leaked by Dave Meltzer back in September, but it is official now. So that's news happening. Also, something really cool was Seagal's... might be saying that wrong.
Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal's daughter tried out for WWE this week, Arisa. So that was written about. And ironically, I know someone that tried out with her, too. I kind of told you guys earlier, but I work at a group fitness studio, too, here in L.A., and one of the trainers was at that same audition that Arisa was at. So fingers crossed for her. I hope she gets a role at NXT. That would be freaking awesome. She's studying with the best, plus she did a movie with John Cena, so it only makes sense. But yeah, so that's my news. The only other thing I want to say is that I hope in the future Kevin Owens does something with Seth Rollins at a big major pay-per-view in our near future.
I think I've said my piece.
There's a lot of history too there. I think there was like a thread on Twitter I saw not too long ago where it was like they showed clips of them in Ring of Honor and then they showed clips of like Kevin Owens like wrestling WWE DVD. Seth Rollins saying like, oh, I always told him like you need to get in shape, you're never going to get into WWE, kind of like I know they're friends in real life, but just kind of like it may come across as maybe putting him down, like, oh, you better change your ways, or else you're never gonna look that. And then they have that story about like Seth Rollins being like flabbergasted at Kevin Owens' first day in WWE, going up against John Cena, like, what? I can't believe this is happening. You know, I just feel like there's a lot. And now I like this element of now Owens is a face and Rollins is a heel. Like, I want to see more of that now.
Yeah, I think it could be really amazing.
Yeah, I think it's a good switch for both of them.
Yep. Go KO! Go KO! All right, that is it.
That's it?
That's it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we finished on time tonight. What is happening? Josh isn't here, that's why.
Yeah, it's because Josh isn't recapping every single motion and move that's in the ring. Just kidding. We love you, Josh.
Let me go back and do that. Hold on. First match of the night, we had... No.
I don't know what John Morrison's name is going to be.
I know, right?
Like Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, you know.
Yeah. He'll probably just be Johnny John Morrison. Something.
Wherever he's at, just Johnny Raw.
Yeah.
Or Jenny Smack.
JM.
Yeah.
I could have arranged.
I'm going to say John Morrison just because that's how they're kind of... They're already hyping him up as that. Like,
you know, WWE never keeps last names long enough.
I know, but that was...
It was just going to be Johnny.
That's what he
it's
was
gonna
known for.
It's
going to
be Johnny at some point, yeah.
That's what he's... Like... I don't know.
Johnny, baby.
Like, wouldn't it be weird if, like, John Cena came back and was like, no, I'm, like, John movie star.
Well, it's because it's John Cena. They're never going to change John Cena.
But most people, I'm trying to think, has anyone come back and really changed their name completely?
No.
Right?
Maybe not completely, unless they really own a hard
Well, the problem
career.
Is they own that. They don't want to, like, I mean, granted, they have to just make a trademark for a new name, but I don't know. I don't see why they would really change it.
Dan GMQ said Johnny UK.
Or Johnny United.
I think United. That's a cool name. Oh, I like
Johnny
that.
Johnny United. If he goes to NXT UK.
But yeah, all right. Well,
sorry to cut you off. Okay. But I know because you're friends with her. Do you think at any point Taya's going to come in now that John Morrison's there?
I think it would probably be a dream, obviously, for her to be there. And who knows, because it happens often where
you should ask her next time.
I asked her a while ago. Well, not about, like, if she's going to be in WWE, but more so along the lines of, like, how is that going to be for you guys with him at WWE and you have, like, totally different schedules, which they kind of have now anyways, but it's going to be worse, you know, because it's a weekly show as opposed to all these other promotions. So, I mean, she's like, no, we're used to it. Like, it's the business. We get it. Like, it's not a big deal. But, of course, I know that she would love probably to be signed by WWE. Yeah. It just hasn't happened yet. So.
And I wouldn't be surprised if they do. Like, I mean, she's a great wrestler, so it's like, it's not like, you know.
Great wrestler, she's great, like, mouthpiece. Yeah. Like,
I know Paige gave her a shout-out on at the end of backstage, which was kind of cool, you know.
Really? What did Paige say? I didn't hear it.
Not because they announced a John Morrison signing, and it's like, oh, hopefully Taya comes in, too. I love her.
Mm. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Is that my Paige accent? My Paige?
That's so cool.
I thought she was in the room.
Yeah.
Someone else says he'll be rebranded as Johnny Gargano 2.0. but, yeah, so that wraps up for SmackDown this week. Gabby, where can the people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at GabbyLorenTV. And catch me on Shein on Thursdays on their live stream on the app. Also, Impact Wrestling on Tuesday nights. And WOW social media.
You can follow me at GHermoza, G-H-E-R-M-O-Z. I will be back here tomorrow covering Monday Night Raw in Espanol, in Spanish. Anybody out there that wants to chime in and give us your opinion on Monday Night Raw in Spanish, we'll be here. But yeah, I'll be covering TLC in 1 week as well. So that way everybody can come back and let us know and be live in the chat room in our TLC 2019 coverage.
Awesome. And they, someone also said Johnny WrestleMania versus Johnny TakeOver. That's what we're going to get for
Johnny Mania.
You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TomTheCom. Check out my Etsy store, Connolly Central. And also follow us on Twitter, Instagram at Connolly Central. And for all of us here at AfterBuzz, we thank you guys. 2019 is almost over. What are we going to do?
Make your New Year's resolution.
Yes.
To watch more AfterBuzz, that is.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes. And we will see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.